Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
And so they had all our pictures on Harrison and Kizzy. And it was just letting me know that at the end of the day, shit can't get real, man. Like, it's a cat and mouse game. These people want you, they gon' get you.
I know some niggas that ain't never in a checkup, but if you call them niggas, they gon' come and send a deck up. Have you leaving off the scene, face up on a stretcher. Apply that pressure for they drink on Stendo, nigga.
Yes, sir.
For the motherfucking record, I'ma bow like a bitch.
I can hear my dead homie hollering, nigga, get rich.
That's what they tell me, ain't no sleeping in my city, nigga, know that.
We was touching money before this rap shit, boy, know that.
See, they really on that bitch and wanna see a nigga hurt. Then I glow up on they ass, now I'm closing Maybach hurt.
Let's keep it real, I know how I feel, the rest of a meal.
I wanna live in the mattress and crib.
I gotta know how that lifestyle feels.
They always doubted me, my inner voice said win. I'd rather have 10 than to have nothing to spend. They stole a 9 off my brick, but I took that on the chin. My brother cut that 27, then he brought it back again. A win-win,
win, 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 a win-win, a win-win, a win-win, a win-win. Look, I don't know how to lose, I don't know how to lose, I don't know how to lose, I don't know how to lose. I can hear my dead homie holler, nigga, get rich. I can hear my dead homie holler, nigga, get rich. I don't know how to lose, I don't know how to lose.
15 on the block, got a spot, start selling dope.
Crap.
Had it in my mind,
yeah.
Never going broke.
Shit, I took a pack, rocked it up and doubled that.
Hey, turned it to a 9, I'm not looking back.
Never.
9 to a key, yeah, I'm wicked with the shit. You ain't gotta ask, be low in this bitch. When I left the street, they said I'm broke. I bounce back like what's happening. Lilo Zero went platinum. I'm in my Lexus on my Jeep like what up?
What up?
I see these bitches at the bar, I'm like what up?
What up?
I got my bag and my jewelry, what up?
What up?
I see these niggas looking funny now, what up?
You see this nigga keep at church with a poppin' flow.
I got these bitches in the lap like let's go.
I don't know how to lose, I don't know how to lose, I don't know how to lose.
I can hear my dead homie holler, nigga, get rich. Nigga, get rich. Nigga, get rich.
I can hear my dead homie holler, nigga, get rich.
I don't know how to lose, I don't know how to
win. Win, win, a win, win, a win, win, a win, win, a win, win. Look, I don't know how to lose, I don't know how to lose, I don't know how to lose, I don't know how to lose.
how to lose.
I can hear my dead homie holler, nigga, get rich. Nigga, get rich. Nigga, get rich.
I can hear my dead homie holler, nigga, get rich. I don't know how to lose. I don't know how to lose.
That's what we do, man. We don't know how to lose. What it do? This your man King Eric, the media assassin. You are now tuned in, episode 513 of Off the Cuff Radio. Show sponsored by Cocaine, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Da Vinci Clothing, Core Financial, Jesse Boutique, Fleetwood and the Cod Pickers, Screwball Radio. Got my host T-Max with the facts in the building. What's good, my brother?
What's going on, man? God bless. Another Thursday Night Thunder of the best. Off the Cuff Radio. Like DJ Khaled said, all we do is win, 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 and losing ain't something that we do ever. We here.
Right, man.
And once again, in the long legacy of OTC, shout out to our co-host of Spirit, a lot of Sam and Lake Chinchilla. We have another luminary, legendary guest representing the Windy City. King, please let everybody know who we got tonight.
Yes, sir, man. I'm telling you, man, this is a special show right here, man, because this guy right here is a part of the legendary trio Do or Die. These brothers been putting it down since the 90s. I'm talking about those Macalosha's rhymes that you heard on Poe Pimp, Still Pimping, the albums, Heads or Tails, Picture This, the gems they dropped with Twista, the chemistry that he has with them. Like, these guys have a legacy, man, and they here to talk about their new album, The Storm. It's about to get rainy for y'all, man, because without further ado, we got AK from Do or Die, man. What's good, my man?
What's the word, fam?
Man, AK, this is such an honor with the full clips of more than 47 bars that you got that are infinite and unlimited rounds, man. You are a legend, like King said. It's an honor and privilege to have you on, man. We thank you so much for your time coming on, man. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Man, you already know what it is, man. Family call or something. That's always ready.
That's what it is. Like King said, you know, you coming from Chicago, you know, being one of the parts of the legendary group, you all could be considered one of the first waves of the Chicago hip-hop scene, you know, along with Common, you know, along later on with the JGs. For those who really digging in the crates that you want to put down the gun, you know, shout out Ten Trey and all of them, you know, No ID, you know, and of course, you know, you know, some guy that really made his name there, I think you know his name, Kanye West, you know, who came later on.
No doubt.
You know, of course, Infamous Syndicate, you know, as well. I mean, welcome. Tell us all about yourself, you know, how you came up in the game, you know, what you got, you know, how you started off then and what you're doing now. Let's get it.
I mean, you know, out of the street into the rap game, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's one of those typical conversations out of the street into the rap game, and we just took it upon ourselves to just really, you know what I'm saying, get in position, because we already knew the street game was kind of dwindling. We knew that. We understood
right.
that, you know, had a vision. So we took what we had, and we worked with that and got it out of the mud. A lot of artists say, man, we got it out of the mud. No. But there wasn't no internet. We went and got it out of the mud for real, and that's not hating on the internet. You know,
right.
Not hating on social media. We got it out of the mud. You had to go to every radio station. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I get geek when I'm talking about this stuff, man, because I know how we got.
Go ahead, we got
know,
time.
Man,
coming, we got time. Go
you
ahead.
Know, and just coming from Chicago, the people before us and the people after us really respect us. You know what I'm saying? Way before Kanye took off, you know. We used to go over to his house, and he used to just make the beat for us. And he was like, man, I'm going to be big, woo, woo, woo. Nobody never doubted him. But, you know, just sitting in his house at that point in time, that just, like, sound like a conversation until it happened. You know what I'm saying? So, to shorten it up, man, we just some forefathers out of Chicago who kicked it off and gave Chicago that platinum standout. Other than DeBrett doing it from Atlanta, we did it straight out of Chicago. DeBrett did it from Chicago and Atlanta, but we did it straight out of Chicago.
Definitely. Shout out to Shante Harris, you know, the Brat, of course, because she is from Chicago. When you think about it.
And we got
it,
Pat on, too, man.
Pat,
what
do,
shout out to Nick Pat.
Yo, what's happening? What's happening? AK, what's going on, my brother?
What's going on, family?
Man, how y'all doing, man?
We're good. We're good.
Go ahead, T-Max. I heard you about to ask a question, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, and welcome, Pat. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, so, AK, I mean, when
of
you
course.
Think about, when you talk about coming out of the street game of, I mean, we got to keep it gully. You know, I mean, when we think about Chicago in terms of the streets, we think about the Vice Lords, we think about the GDs, Larry Hoover, Jeff Fort, you know, all of those guys. From the street level of it, what was it like during those days? Because everybody talks about Chi-Raq, and we all know how real it is on the south side and west side of it, you know. What was that time specifically like for you all coming up out there? You know, Cabrini Green and all them spots.
I mean, at that time, we had structure. It was rules. You couldn't go over nobody here. You couldn't do, you know, there's things that you couldn't do. It was all structure. Now we don't have that anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You could go outside. So if somebody, if me and you got into it, I couldn't go outside or get nowhere. The people that stood up for you, and you can go outside of getting with the people who stood up for me. You know, so those two talking to me, man. It's either squat or we at war. You know what I'm saying? That's how you could go ahead structure.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't got that anymore. It didn't turn into something else. You know.
Yeah.
Yep.
And even like on the hip hop side of things, like. I was born in the 80s, and I think anybody my age can attest it. When we saw Chicago hip-hop, we saw Do or Die, Twista, you know, Rhyme Fez. I mean, even Kanye and Psychodrama, Triple Darkness. You know, like, you guys had such a great sound and so much talent. And I'm from the East, and we, like, cherished that Chicago sound. Like, we love it to this day. You throw on Poe Pimp, you throw on Hey by Crucial Conflict, you throw on, I mean, there's so many great Chicago songs. I mean, it'll stop the show, you know what I mean? And then, but you ask younger kids now, they think of Chief Keef and Lil Durk and all that. And
the drill, yeah, the whole drill movement.
I just think there's two. That's two drastic different styles, and you know that. So that's why I wanted you on the show, because I think it's important that, you know, in our archives we have a legend like you that's still doing it, still putting out quality music. Because I really like the album. I mean, that's why I reached out to you. I listened to the album. I was like, man, I like this. I want to have him on the show, and I wanted to ask you, like, how important is it to you that you, you know, like, you rep for your era and from where you come from and for what Chicago means to you.
Yeah, hold on. I think his call got dropped. I'm gonna try to bring him back on.
Okay. Yeah, man, but, I mean, Pat, like you were saying, I mean, that history, you know, in terms of it, like you said,
it's two totally different things, you know? Like, it's just, there's two sides of the coin, it seems like. You know what I mean? Like, you're either into drill or you're into, you know, the classic shit like that we like, you know? Because you can meet somebody 21 years old that loves Chicago rap, and they might not have any idea who the fuck Twista is, and you know what I mean? And that's fucking tragic. You know what I mean? But it's a shame, because there's such a rich history with Chicago. Like, it's one of, like, I fucking love Chicago music. I mean, like, them songs I named are fucking classics no matter where you're from, you know?
Exactly.
You throw on that Poe Pimp, like, come on, man. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many great songs, like Adrenaline Rush by Psychodrama and Twisted and shit. Like, look how, like, Cameron redid that joint. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that shit hit everywhere, no matter, you know, it hit in places where the history is deep there. You know what I mean? Like, Chicago was one of those cities that like pierced through everywhere, you know what I mean? Like, no matter where you were from, you rocked with Chicago shit, you know?
Yeah. And when you think about it during that time, I mean, we saw, I think, ever, like, with Common, you know, and all of them coming up in that time, you know, where we knew they were dope. I don't think we knew at that time that they were going to become as legendary as they were. But, you know, it's something to just, to see that movement. I mean, what he was saying about how they, you know, knew Kanye coming up, you know, when he was there, and how, you know, Kanye was telling them that he was going to be huge. You know, and I mean,
yeah.
It's wild, man, because to be in the moment, you don't always see it until it actually culminates.
Hold on, I'm going to try to bring them on like this.
Okay.
I'm going to try to do it old-fashioned way. Hold on 1 second, y'all.
Okay.
You're going to write him a note with a pigeon. Fine, do or die.
Well, we do the old-fashioned way, carrying the pigeon and all that. We got him on?
Well, I'm trying to bring him on now.
Okay.
You're calling them 1-800-COLLECT. You gotta get a payphone right now trying to pay JK.
He's doing old school joint.
He's paging them right now. 911. 420-911.
He should call back. We're just gonna wait aboard till he calls back. But
okay.
Yeah, man. Let's just play that game Eminem disc, man. By then, I mean, fuck, it'll be next year. You know?
Man, I'll tell you one thing.
At least a fucking movie, man.
I'll tell you one thing, man. I was thinking about that, y'all. I mean, with what Game did, I talked to a couple people, you know, offline about it. They said the Game album, at the very least, is okay. It's not like the... this album was supposed to come out, what, like 4 months ago, give or take?
Yeah.
And it's like, now we're getting it. And everyone's pretty much saying that it's like, that's it? It's like, this is all we're getting with it?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, fuck, man. Like, I felt like I was reading a fucking book. Like, that shit was so long, and it's like, bro, like...
30 tracks. I was like, wow.
You didn't even really say nothing either. Like, that was the thing. Like, he just took, like, corny, like, shit that people say online about Eminem. Like, nobody plays you in the club or in the car and shit. Like... Bro, like, we heard all that, man. Like, if you're going to create a beef over not, like, that's why I don't like the whole, like, Ludacris's line on that stomp joint towards T.I. Nobody's think about you, plus your beef ain't legit. Bro, your beef's not legit. Like, what the fuck did Eminem do to you? You know what
you
I
know,
mean?
We
like,
yeah. I mean, when we
you
have
crying about the Super Bowl? Bro, if anybody should be upset about not being on that Super Bowl stage, it should be Exhibit. Exhibit should have been on there before the game was, in my opinion.
Yeah,
or Ice Cube. You know what I mean? Oh, wait, was Ice Cube there?
No, he wasn't there. But I mean, when you think
really
about it, though, with games, when you look at it, like when we had Razzcast on, you know, a couple months back, you know, and, you know, Razz, folks that, you know, shout out to, you know, Raph. You know, and Raph was like, you know, how can you go against the very individuals that helped put you on? And Raph was like, I wish I had, you know, that type of value that Game had, you know, coming in with his first album. You know, and
what the Game just did is he tarnished his whole first album, for one, because now we just seen that reference track come out for Hire. Right. I was backing up what 50 said. Now you took one of the, he had arguably the best Eminem verse out of all the G-Unit verses that Eminem did. But that line, I'm not even a big Eminem fan, but that line, which way do you want to face when your brain hit pavement? Bro, that shit is hard as hell. He took one of the hardest guest verses from Eminem, and now none of Eminem's fans are ever going to listen to that song again. You know what I mean? Like, because Eminem's fans are, they're Eminem fans. They're not, not all of them are rap fans. They're Eminem fans before they are rap fans. You know what
that's
I mean?
Deep,
they will,
what you just said.
They will,
that's deep.
They will go against anybody over Eminem. Or, you know what I mean? Like, they'll go with Eminem over anybody. So, like, it doesn't matter if Tupac comes back alive tomorrow and this is Eminem, they fucking hate Tupac. Like, that's who they are. You know what I mean?
You're right.
So, like,
you're right.
They're never going to listen to the game ever again. And he picked the fight for nothing. And now, like, Eminem's in a weird spot where it's like, man, if I don't respond, the game's going to be running his mouth to Eminem ducked me. But if I do respond, now I have to go back and forth with this fucking idiot. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, what can Eminem even say to him? Like, there's not even a thing there. It's just the game picking a fight over nothing. And, like, if you listen to the fucking song, too, all he does is, like, it's like, bro, you, like, studied Eminem's cat. Like, you're a fan, bro. Like, because, like, I was reading the comments. There was a lot of shit that the game said that, like, I didn't even understand what he meant. And then in the comments, it's like, oh, that was a reference to an Eminem song. I didn't even know that. So it's like, he's, like, dropping lines from Eminem's music and shit. And it's like, damn, bro, like, what was the point of this? Like, you know what I mean? It's just, like, a poor, I don't know, man. It's just a poor attempt at being Diet Kanye West. That's what he's doing, man. Like, he's just trying to be fucking shocking and trying to, you know what I mean? Like, just look how he was acting on Drink Champs. Tell me he wasn't trying to act like Kanye, like, trying to be, you know, over the top and, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, dude. Like, that's just not who I thought the game was. But, I mean, now that I see this side of him, it's like, I don't know, maybe that is who he always was. Like, I don't know. I mean, I always thought it was some sucker shit what he did to Yuck Mouth. Like, how they were supposed to do that track together and, like, a truce, and then he dissed him on the truce track. Like, it's like cornball shit, man. Like, I don't know. And there's no way that I'm going to sit through 30 fucking songs either. There's no way, dude. No, I'll read a book before I do that shit.
Well, the fact is when we think about, you know, Gang's career, he's, you know, like you said, Pat, you know, because this has always been something that has dogged his career in terms of legitimacy of his legacy. You know, going back to, you know, when 50 and him started having those problems, and 50 basically said, you know, well, he didn't even basically, 50 just came out and said straight up, I wrote Gang's album. I basically wrote half of his album. Which Gang tried to downplay, saying he helped me with some choruses and hooks here and there, but I basically wrote it. But when you compare styles between him and 50, if you listen to certain songs in terms of the cadence, rhythm, word spacing, enunciation, it's almost an identical match. You know, when you think about, even when you listen to How We Do, that's, you know, even with the ad, it's like fresh, like, I mean, that's how 50 would normally start a track on.
Yeah. Yeah, you ain't wrong. He had the remake song, like, start from scratch and shit, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man.
That's not to say the game has not developed into his own MC. Because
the game's talented as fuck. I think that him and Young Buck both, I think they made, like, terrible mistakes. Like, I think this route that the game's going, where I think his whole career of, like, always talking about Dr. Dre, it was a wrong move. I always thought that was back. It's like, bro, you're dope. Like, people are listening to you anyway. They don't care about the Dr. Dre thing. Like, get away from that. And then Young Buck, too, like, whenever he cried on the phone with 50 shit, it's like, bro, are you dumb? Like, Young Buck was the cleanup man for G-Unit. Remember, they used to call him that shit. And
yeah. There
was the Young Buck was the only one that had fans outside of G-Unit fans. Like, he could have went anywhere and got a deal, man. Everybody fucked with Young Buck back then. He look at the features on his album, and look how many people had Buck on their album and shit. Everybody loved Young Buck, but he fucked up. He fucked up and tied himself to 50 forever, and it was like, bro, you could have left after those two albums and moved on and just went somewhere else, man, and been fine. You know what I mean? Like, everybody rocked with you. Like, 3-6 Mafia was blowing up. He could have went back with them. Like, he could have did anything, man. Him and BG were rocking together hard. He could have linked up with BG and fucking did something. Could have went with T.I., like, 8-Ball and MJG, he could have went a million different places, but instead, he made himself look lame, crying on the phone with 50, and it, like, tainted his whole career. And he just always was the guy from G-Unit after that. You know what I mean? Like, and the
and
game
this is even,
just,
yeah, this is even
the game looks
this
like he's just salty about, yeah, and the game just looks like he's just salty about not being with Dre and 50 and Eminem, you know, and it's like after all these years, you're just dissing Eminem out of the blue, bro. It just kind of seems corny to me, dude. Like, I don't know. He would have had to come with some like real shit for me to even like think that it was called for. I just think it's stupid, man.
Yeah, and one thing about it is that as an artist, it takes time. You know, when we think about the ghostwriting that 50, that's not uncommon. You know, that's been going on since, you know, rap really became, you know, really started getting legs and running with it. So this is not something that is an uncommon practice. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Of course, we look, you know, so it's like, but the thing is, when you look at how, as you said, Pat, when your trajectory really begins to go, you're really beginning to find your audience, you're developing your own style, you're moving forward. The one thing about it that we see a lot of times missing in the game, y'all, is humility. We don't see
mm-hmm.
a lot of humility. We don't see a lot of appreciation. We don't see a lot of acknowledgement in terms of how a lot of these artists come in. And then to hear them say it after they make it big, well, I did it on my own. Fuck them. I didn't need no help. And the reality is it's bullshit. That's like what we do with the show. We never say we do it ourselves because we got so many people that have helped us along the way that we give appreciation and acknowledgement to. We can't be off-the-cuff radio as a collective without people that have helped us along the way. And a lot of these artists need to understand that when you come in the game, you know, it's a lot of – it takes a lot of skill, takes a lot of luck, and a lot of people that are – looking out for you to ensure that you are able to move forward in the game.
Yeah.
So,
I just think that if the game wanted to come at Eminem and all that, like, bro, you should do that on, like, your third album or something. Like,
mm-hmm.
why? Like, it's like, bro, like, it's this much. It's like, I don't know. I just think it's so forced and just not. You know.
Nah, what it was, Truck 100 put him up to that.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
Hey,
you're not wrong.
You
know. Bro,
you're going to go out there, you're going to diss Dre, you're going to diss Eminem. We need to run them numbers up on Pyru. Get in that booth.
I haven't even heard nothing about him in a while. What's going on with him? I'm sure he celebrated Pride Month a couple months ago, but other than that,
now we have
I haven't heard nothing
from
him. I usually see him and Poppy.
After that whole shit, he been talking all spring. He laying low for the summer.
Yeah, I'm used to seeing Poppy and whack all over to Instagram and shit. I haven't seen them in a while, man. It's been nice, though, you know?
Well, I mean, look, you know, when you start, you
I
know,
think
look, we know
Jake
the situation.
Thing got him a little quiet.
Man, look, after that big U situation, you know,
you know, that things got a little dicey for him. And then, you know, a couple of concert incidents that went different from, you know, how he said it went. But we know from people we know who are those concerts about what happened. You know, shout out to our people that were there. We're not going to name them, but they were there with all of them. So
there's actually somebody that I want to talk about that I'm sure you guys have talked about him. I just never talked about him on the air before.
Okay.
Charleston White. Charleston White. Look, for one, I used to think he was hilarious. Because he was talking shit to the right people, and everybody was falling for it. Now, I think he goes too far outside the box, and I don't like the whole, like, dissing dead people and all that. Like, I don't like that, like... I understand, like, when he said, like, fuck Nipsey and King Von and shit, I understood what he was saying at first. Like, he was saying, no, I'm dissing the characters of them. Like I'm not looking at them as men. I'm looking at, like, the character King Von, like Nipsey Hussle, whatever his real name is. I'm not dissing him. Dissing the rapper character of Nipsey Hussle and all that, like, I'm dissing the gang culture and all that. And I think, you know, a lot of that will get lost in translation. But also, I think that he has said some things that kind of contradict that. Like, bro, nah, you said some things that disrespect him as a man, too, though, you know? But, like, one thing, I'm sure you guys saw that fucking podcast with Melvin Farmer. And whenever he, like, defended Nipsey and Monster Cody, and Charleston White got up and walked out and shit. Well,
yeah.
What I don't like is everybody on that podcast now has been on other podcasts talking shit on Charleston White, calling him all kinds of names, saying all this kind of shit, and they're saying things like, all he do is get on podcasts and run his mouth. Like, yo, like... You can't get on podcasts and run your mouth about people getting on podcasts running their mouths. That's what you're doing now. Like,
that's counterintuitive.
Whether they like it or not, that's what Charleston White wants. Like, anything, I try to explain this to people. When
right.
you post something on the internet and it gets likes and comments and shares and all that, that's interaction, and that's how people make their money. So when
right.
people get on DJ Vlad's post and call him a rat and all that, you're supporting DJ Vlad because he can go to advertisers and say, look, I got this many comments, this many shares, blah, 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 this much interaction. And advertisers are like, oh, shit, yeah, here, I'll pay you this much money to advertise this for me. So it doesn't matter what you said. It's the fact that you interacted with him, so you just supported him. So when people kept...
Yeah.
sharing Tekashi 6ix9ine videos and all that and talking shit on him, you were supporting him. You were buying his album pretty much. You know what I mean? So when you do that to Charleston White, you're giving him what he wants. You know, like, that's what he wants. Do you think that he thinks he's just going to say these things and nobody's going to react and that's it? Like, that's what he wants you to do. He wants to make you mad and get you to interact with him. And all these guys are falling for it. Now, do I think it's going to be some trouble for him in the future? Yes, I do. I think, unfortunately, I think something bad's going to happen to him. And I think that he's too old to be picking fights with these young people like that. But I just don't understand, like, these old OG dudes. How are you guys... not seeing that? Like, how are you guys getting in front of cameras and falling for this bullshit? Like, I don't get it. I don't. And then, like, that one
part of it, too, is that they're playing on to know it's going to give them attention as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
Yeah, you gotta look out your way. It's also giving them some new attention as well. Clout chasing is a drug, man.
It is. And like you said, Pat, when you're dealing with individuals that have already, you know, that get out there, there is a fine line between acknowledgement and ignorance in terms of you ignoring somebody. The reality is that there are times where you don't acknowledge foolishness, because a fool who has an audience is a clown that has a circus around them. And when that fool is isolated, all they are a mime. They're just moving around, and they can't get out of it. You know, they're in a box. They're in an invisible box. And what people have to understand is, not everything, there are situations, as the late, great Charlie Murphy said, about habitual line stepping, where after a while, you do address certain things just off of respect and the disrespect that comes with it. And with certain people, you do have to check them. But sometimes you have to look at people for the clowns that they are. Charleston White talks a lot, but Charleston White ain't going to run up on nobody. You know, and I'm saying it on this show. And Charleston, if you
Soldier Boy.
You know, I mean, Charleston, and if you listen, yeah, I said it. You're not going to do nothing to nobody. And guess what? I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Who are you going to run up on?
Yeah, that's the funniest shit I've ever heard. Yeah, no.
I'm like, look, he's talking about calling out Soft Walker, about saying Soft Walker ain't real, that he grew up in a middle-class household. So what if Albert Walker grew up in a middle-class household? Albert Walker is real. I've not heard anybody say that Soft ain't real in the street. And he's got the street reputation to back it up. If nothing else, Sauce Walker, you know, is a dope-ass rapper and MC. For those that have not got up on Sauce Walker, you need to. Get familiar.
Yeah, I never gave him a chance yet. I never gave him a chance yet. Yeah.
He is Sauce special. He is special. That dude.
I'm going to have to check him out. I hear his name all the time. Where is he from?
He's from Houston, Texas.
Oh, okay.
And Sauce.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to check him out.
Sauce is unbelievable.
He's been one of those names that I've seen, like, so many times, and I'm like, yeah, I got to check him out. Because, I mean, if you notice one thing, man, like, I don't talk down on many rappers, like, you know, like, just a bad example, like Kodak Black. You'll never really see me say anything bad about Kodak Black. The reason why? I never listened to him. I don't know what the fuck he rapped. I don't know if he's good. I don't know. So I don't talk about shit that, like, I don't know. And, like, there's people that I want to show love to because I heard a little bit, but I don't know. Great example is Don Q from New York. I only ever heard maybe 10 songs, and they were good. I liked them. But I just never went back and did more. And Joey Badass is another one. I heard a lot of his shit that I really liked, but I haven't heard enough for me to, like, really push it, like, yo, I fuck with Dude Heavy and shit, you know what I mean? But so far, what I heard I liked, you know what I mean? But I don't really get into, like, talking about people if I don't know their shit, you know what I mean? So, like, but Sauce Walker's been one of them dudes I've been wanting to check out.
Especially now I know he's from Houston, I'll probably do that tonight, actually.
Yeah, Sauce knows that. I mean, in terms of where, you know, real name Albert Mundane Walker, but the dude, and I don't say that disrespectfully given his government, but that dude over the years, in terms of, you know, shout to him, Peso, Sosa Man, Sauce Gohan, the whole TSF, the Sauce Factory, shout out to XXL because they did a profile on him, like a feature on their page some years ago. He dropped a song called Casper. And it basically, it's just, it starts off, I pull up red Kawasaki, 40 on my waist in case a nigga try to try me. My young blood over there, that little nigga caught a body. And they used that motherfucking chopper like a rock. He said, I think he watched, and he used that one fucking chopper watch it kick like karate. I'm on that
I'm on the hunt for green like a tractor. I'm a motherfucking pimp, not a rapper.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check him out for sure.
But Sauce is dope.
Yeah, but check. Hey, y'all, check this out. So, I'm looking at it now that Funkmaster Flex is now calling out Jadakiss and Swizz to put out a joint now, because you know that's been his shtick for the past month. You know, he's calling out a lot of the old heads in New York. I won't call them old heads, but you know, established cats.
OG.
Right. And I kind of applaud that move, man, because one thing for sure is it's putting these cats back on that spectrum to put out music now, because, see, a lot of them got too laid back in this podcasting lane, and it's like, look, we want to see y'all rap.
Right.
Yeah.
This is our shit right here. This is us. Pat T-Max, Sandman Chinchilla. Y'all rapping. That's y'all take y'all asses in the booth. We don't need y'all slamming.
I want to hear new music from all these dudes Flex is calling out. I just want them to keep it up. I don't want them just to be doing this just to, like, to shut people up, acting like he don't play, you know, New York shit and all that. I want him to keep this up. I want a year from now him to still be playing this type of shit. You know what I mean? But, I mean, I ain't the biggest Swiss fan. I'd rather hear Kiss just... I love Jadakiss can spit a cappellas for all I give a fuck about. You know what I mean? Like, Jadakiss is... Jada's just ill. I mean, there's this... You know, he's one of those guys that, like, yeah, he's from Yonkers, he's from New York, but Jadakiss is, you know, regionless. He's dope no matter where you go. You know what I mean? I think everybody loves Jadakiss. He's just a Hall of Fame ill, you know? And that goes for the whole Lox, though. The whole Lox is dope, you know what I mean? But it's cool. I hope, you know, they're good for Flex.
Yeah, Fab answered the challenge. I think Jada answered the challenge, too. But damn, Joel Santana didn't answer the challenge. y'all be in these million-dollar studios. Y'all don't drop no music, man. They be on Love and Hip Hop, but yet don't drop nothing.
I think right now is an important time for Hot 97. They should be fucking killing shit right now with the Breakfast Club taking that hit with Angela Yee leaving. And, I mean, really... I don't really see the Breakfast Club really doing anything. I guess it's not over. Like, Angela Yee's
going
to...
Tell us what was going on with that situation. Because I saw it, but I don't know the whole
Angela Yee got a new show. And
okay.
So she's going to still be on the Breakfast Club for a little bit. Like, I don't remember what they said, a couple months or something. So, so far, that's the news. It doesn't say what's going to happen once she starts her show. It doesn't say if it's going to be Envy and Charlamagne continuing the Breakfast Club, or they're going to bring someone else in, or it's just done. I don't know. I mean, it didn't say anything about it being done. But if you're Power 105, you just got to look at it. Like, Envy should be shitting his pants right now, because Envy's the DJ, and he's the least of the personalities on the show. Girls tune in for Yee. Everybody turns in for Charlamagne. Who tunes in for DJ Envy? You know, and that's not a diss to him. That's his role on the show, where he just kind of, you know, play off those two. You know what I mean? But he plays the music and shit. So, like, if Charlamagne already has his own show on, what, Comedy Central or something. He's always working with MTV. If Charlamagne can go get a job anywhere, he can start his own shit. He already has successful podcasts with Schultz outside of the Breakfast Club. He don't really need the Breakfast Club. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to try to bring somebody in. If they would do that, I think they should try to bring in somebody already established. Because, you don't want to bring in a newcomer, because they're just going to compare that person to Angela Yee. So you want to bring in somebody that everybody knows already. You know what I mean? Like maybe like a Pittsburgh Pat. You know?
We're here for it. Pittsburgh Pat Breakfast Club.
But that's the breaking news: is the Breakfast Club traded Angela Yee for Pittsburgh Pat. Angela Yee's coming on Off the Cove Radio. and I stole DJ Vlad's couch, and I'm taking it to the Breakfast Club. It's gonna be interesting to see what they do. But like I said, like I think Charlamagne's gonna move past hip hop. You know what I mean? I think he's gonna get away from like just talking about hip hop every morning. He's more into politics now and. You know what I mean? Like, he's more into, like, social issues and shit. He doesn't really... You know, like, when's the last time we heard Charlamagne talk crazy to a guest? And,
yeah,
you know...
That's what happens, man, when... I knew this was going to happen when they start really getting involved in more of the political side. Therefore, when you're involved in the political side, your background is going to be in more so display. And you know Charlamagne's background is crazy. I'm not going to put that out on the air. People can look it up for themselves. So you notice when that came out, he's been moving really differently. Like, all of a sudden, he's been switching up to focusing on mental health and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, that's your
I think the ultimate move they should do is they should bring in Gucci Man to replace Angela. You know, that's what they've been saying. That was like what tore them apart, remember? Because Gucci's called in that interview with Charlamagne. He like said some shit about Angela, and Charlamagne didn't stick up for it, remember? So like people have been saying it hasn't been the same since. I think that'd be hilarious if they brought, even if just for one show, like the first show without Angela, they had Gucci mentioned. I think that'd be hilarious.
Damn, look. Frank,
that'd probably get him canceled,
man.
Though.
I don't know. I don't know. That depends on what type of Gucci we get for that show. You know, if we get Star. Oh man, I don't know. If they're ready for Star.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know the right move for them to make. Like I said, I think it would be hard to bring in somebody new, just because even outside of the whole. Just the comparison will always be there between the new person and Angela Yee. Just that there's also other places to go. I think DJ Vlad is somebody, like Vlad TV is just always going to be here. You know what I mean? And say what you want about Vlad, but he's done a great job of always staying relative, you know, he's always in the news, always gets big guests, always has a headline that grabs people. People might hate him, other people might not. That your opinion on him don't matter. It's the fact that Vlad TV has always been here, and I don't see it going anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then, like, you've seen No Jumper has risen to a level of not just being for the young hip-hop heads anymore, because now they got, you know, they just had Corrupt on there. They just had Cocaine and Cold 187 on there the other day. Like they have, you know, more veteran hip hop. So they have Disaster doing a show on there now, and you know, like he's expanding. You know what I mean? So there's a lot more Queens Flips doing shit. There's so many platforms out there. Like, so the Breakfast Club wants to compete with that. I think they have to bring on somebody that's already established that people are gonna be like, whoa, like, you know what I mean, like. I know one move that would actually maybe work, but I won't ever see it happening, though. But the one move that would work would be Joe Budden. That would be the move that would work. Joe Budden needs it because Joe's show fell all the way the fuck off ever since his podcast split up. Nobody even knows who those new guys are, and, you know, nobody gives a fuck. However, another thing, Jesus Romero just split up. He could bring home Jesus Romero.
See, Roy and Mal went on and did their thing, you know, so they're good.
What's that?
They gonna need them.
Roy and Mal, you figure they went off and did fine without him.
Yeah. But now that Jesus and Romero split up, if they squashed the beef with Envy, bring one of them on the Breakfast Club. You know what I mean? Like, they need a name, kind of how, like, Everyday Struggle brought Star after Joe Budden left. It just didn't
right.
work because, I mean, Star, you can't hire Star. Like, he's a guy that has to work for himself.
Like, Star
will make sure he doesn't work for you. like Star is, I like Star, I don't know, but, you know, he's part of that wild bunch from the 90s. Like, did you ever hear the Star and Prodigy interview?
Wow.
Oh no, I never heard about it. I never saw the Star and Prodigy.
Yeah, that was the Cripple Sons.
Oh, man. You got to hear the Star Prodigy.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
Yo, you better pass your seatbelt.
Yeah, the Star and Prodigy shit is, it's pretty crazy, man.
I don't know if it's up there, but the one he did when he was shooting with Tigger was funny.
Oh, yeah, that one was funny as hell, man. Yeah. That, like, dude, I just searched for Star Prodigy Hot 97, and the first thing that shows up is throwback. Star calls Tigger a half a fag and suggests he's gay. I don't know why the Prodigy one ain't showing up, though. I heard it on YouTube before, too. But,
if Star takes down a lot of his stuff, that's what I don't like, though. I mean, I remember when he was supposed to smack Ebro at the Slaughterhouse battle.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that shit. Yeah, and I remember he got arrested for the DJ Envy shit.
Yeah.
Don't forget about that. That shit was, like, major fucking news, man. I remember hearing about that shit, like, on, like, Howard Stern or Opie and Anthony or something. Like, I heard about that shit, like, everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, wait, what happened? Like, that was back in the days when, like, if you missed radio, like, you missed something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you didn't
now,
really.
I think what it is now, I think the industry found ways to monetize the podcast game now, because that's where a lot of artists their content out now. They found ways to monetize that. So now the labels are sending artists on the press run, like, okay, that's what's taken from the Breakfast Club now.
Mm-hmm.
First they go for the $1 million worth of game, then they go to Drink Champs, then they go to Vlad.
Yeah, they do the rounds and shit. Yeah, like it's kind of how it used to be. Like, you would do the rounds on radio stations.
Run.
Now they're just doing them on podcasts. But, like, back in the day, like.
But I think what's happening now is they're getting the blast of the press run, the last of the press run, because Breakfast Club used to be first in demand.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell
now
yeah.
You got $1 million worth of game. Now you got Drink Champs.
Well, yeah, with, like, Charlamagne going political and shit really stopped him from going viral, you know, because how can you get interviews with the vice president and the president and shit when you're telling female guests you want to sniff their chair, you know what I mean, or asking Brandy what her mouth does, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not going to happen,
yeah.
So, like, I'm sure he had to tone it down, and they haven't went viral since. And in the meantime of them, you know, toning it down, you have Doggy Diamonds made. So, you know, Doggy Diamonds went on Drink Champs, and now Doggy Diamonds has podcasts. Like that, the OG Chronicles shit, if you look, that's the Digital Soapbox Network. That's Doggy Diamonds' network. And he has his show, of course. You have Queen's Flip coming up. You have No Jumper by TV. Like, there's all these other things coming up. So, like, the Breakfast Club is kind of just kind of mundane interviews anymore. You know what I mean? Like, where you might hear something funny. They might make a funny joke, or a rapper might say something funny. But you're not going viral with that type of shit anymore. And meanwhile, No Jumper, like, there's guests spitting on the host and almost fighting them and shit. Like, you know, they'd be like, there's all kinds of shit going on everywhere else, but, you know, in Breakfast Club, not that much is going on. So it's like, you know, I think it's I think what's best for them is just to move on. I think that Charlamagne, he's the star of it. He'll be just fine. He already got her show. I think DJ Envy, I mean, DJ Envy's fucking rich. He don't really got to do anything. But if he wants to do something, I think he should just team up with his fucking wife and do some daytime TV bullshit. You know what I mean? Why not? Like, and he could still DJ on the side. You know what I'm saying? I just think going forward with the Breakfast Club might just be, I don't know, I think it would just come off as forced, and people would be like, eh, it just ain't the same no more. It gives people a reason to not listen. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the last thing you want if you're a show that goes by ratings. You know what I mean? And in a time where you don't have to work for a huge network, and they do, man, you're better off betting on yourself. And I think Charlamagne understands that. Charlamagne can just have the Charlamagne the God show and have his own podcast and put it on YouTube and get rich off of it. You know what I mean? And I just think that that's a better idea than to just have the Breakfast Club with some, you know, throw in another host or don't. And, you know what I mean, just trying to do the same old thing. And not that I think Ye is a big deal for them. I just think that, look, man, it's just a good time for everybody to part ways. Because when's the last time that we have said, hey, did you guys see that Breakfast Club interview? You know what I mean? But we have said things like, did you hear what so-and-so said on DJ Vlad? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's other people are just making more noise in the Breakfast Club. That's just the facts, you know? And I don't care if people say, oh, well, they still get this many views and blah, blah. Yeah, okay. Like, that's fine. Like, I get it. They'll get the views and shit. But, like, pretty soon, views aren't really going to matter. It's, like, interaction and, you know, going viral is what matters, like, for people like that. Because you want to have shit that, like, gets covered by other people and shit. You know what I mean? There hasn't been any, I mean, everybody covered Birdman on the Breakfast Club. They haven't had an interview like that almost since then, probably. You know what I mean? Like,
I think Time was their record-breaking interview, too.
Yeah. It was hilarious, you know. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got to add also, man, we also got to add Gully TV. Gully TV's doing his thing, too. And the podcast, and Rame as well. There's a lot of, and you know, you have, what's his name? Lord Jamar with the Godcast. He's doing his thing there, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, is he still with Godfrey?
I think so.
Or
I
was
think
that
him and Rob Digger still doing it.
Or that was the,
oh, yeah, well,
y'all, I mean.
Y'all, I got to mention this, y'all. I got to mention Matt Hoffman. Offer is killing it right now.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't mention that. That's the main one I wanted to mention. That to me is the number one up and coming show. Matt Hoffa's show. To me, that's the, like, of all those podcasts and shit, I think that's the number one up and coming show. I think that show will be the most popular out of all of them. I just think that Matt has, he figured it out. You know, he has a great plan, a great blueprint. He gets great stories out of these guys. He doesn't focus on one thing. I mean, bro, he's given us Tretch and Tupac stories. Fat Joe, battle rap shit. Like, he's all over the place, and every interview is very well done. I think that show's going far, very far. And I think it'll be here for a while.
Y'all,
I hope he sticks with it.
I know y'all noticed this. Now, maybe I'm wrong here, but do you guys think that the concept for the shot LeBron James took for Matt Hoffa, or was the shot out longer than Matt Hoffa's podcast?
I don't know who was first, but I mean, to be honest, I don't really think that it's that original of a concept to begin with. Like, just the people sitting in a barbershop talking. That's how often have we heard the term barbershop talk? You know, like when people were arguing about basketball or rap, it's like, yeah, but in the barbershops, you know what I mean? Like, next you'll have, like, a barbecue show where people are at the barbecue and shit. Like, who's invited to the cookout and shit like that. Like, I just think it's I don't really think that anybody can claim being the originator of that. Like, I don't think it's that original of an idea. Like, somebody, one of them did the show first, but just putting a camera, a bunch of guys sitting in a barbershop, I don't think that's a thing that either one can claim as they came up with that. I think that's a kind of a something that, you know, is just a thing. You know what I mean? Like, I think we all seen a show like that coming. Like, there's probably been other shows like that we just can't think of. You know what I mean? It's kind of like,
right,
you know, not saying it's a tired concept or anything. I'm just saying, like, that's a thing. Like, we always heard, like, barbershop talk. Like, that's been a phrase for a long time. So, like, I don't know who came up with it first, but I think that, I don't know. And I think they're both a little different in a sense, too. But I don't know. I think both of them are great shows. So, like, I don't know who did it first, but they both, in my opinion, they both figured it out. They both perfected it. And, like, at the end of the day, man, that's kind of what counts, you know? I don't think that, I don't think you watch
that's
either
true.
One and feel that one ripped off the other and vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, as long as they're both giving you good content, that's all I care about. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that it was some genius idea to call, like, oh, we should do it in the barbershop. I think that's just kind of been a thing in the atmosphere already. And they both just kind of, you know, I think it could be like a parallel thinking type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, too, in terms of podcasts, I think there's another one, too, on the Real Podcast with the Rosenthal brothers. Those guys, they know their shit.
What is it?
Shout out to them. They're on the Real Podcast with the Rosenthals. They're from Queens, I believe. Queens, New York.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know,
yeah,
shout out to the Rosenthal brothers. They're good.
There's a lot of lame-ass podcasts out there, too, man. Like,
yeah.
I see these podcasts, so it's like these two white kids from Canada and shit, and they, like, man, like, all they talk about is, like, which one of these albums sold the most? They have, like, TikTok videos and shit. And, like, you can tell, like, look, I don't mean to, like, start any shit by saying this, but, like, a lot of people, like, from outside of the country, no, I'm not saying that they can't like hip-hop or anything like that, but, like, a lot of them didn't grow up in hip-hop culture. So they're kind of like Google hip-hop heads. Like, they just kind of search, like, who are the best MCs? Like, what are classic
right.
albums? And, like, they know the one Slick Rick album and the one Slick Rick song. Then they don't know anything else. You know what I mean? Like, and there's a lot of that going on. And then you see it with these guys. Like, these guys, like, they had a thing, like, what are the most sampled songs ever? And instead of Lottie Dottie by Slick Rick, they said, like, La-Di-Da or some shit. Like, they didn't even know how to pronounce it. They called Nas Naz. And Naz and Tupac, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, fuck, man. And you look at their TikTok followers, they got like 3 million followers. And it's like, motherfucker, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, but like you said, Matt, when you're looking at it, hip-hop is an export from the United States. So,
yeah.
Like you said, and it doesn't matter what color you are, if you grew up in the United States and you really, really know the history of it, no matter where you come from, you understand the history of it. When you're dealing with other countries, they're catching up to something that was not something that they invented. So their understanding and interpretation is going to be totally different because a lot of them, while they can appreciate
hold on,
Chef,
I think we got 18 back.
Okay.
Hey, you back, man?
Yo, man. You back on? Okay, you with us?
Yo.
Yeah,
we hear you.
You hear? We hear you.
Yeah, man. Crazy bad area downtown Chicago, always like that.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not a problem. I mean, look, we pick up right where we left off. So, I mean, so in terms of when you all were, like, out in the streets, you know, doing what you do, what was it, when did you all know that in terms of it, like, was hip-hop something that you always, that you obviously always did? Who were some of your influences, and when did you, how did you all go about it in terms of when you decided to go ahead with the music? What was the path you all took in terms of, you know, doing the demo shopping and, you know, ultimately the negotiations to get your first album out?
Well, my influence was always Ice Cube and Scarface, obviously. And anyone that came before them, because,
right.
You know, I mean, but how we got our music out is, you know, I got up with one of my cousins, and he knew I was serious about it, and every day we woke up to the same ground, which is getting in the studio, figuring everything out, what type of songs we wanted to do. So as time went on, Rap-A-Lot used to come to Chicago, and they used to go through like 150 to 100 artists every time they came, and they never found nobody. They found this group, Psycho Drummer. Psycho Drummer kick in. But at the time, Psycho Drummer didn't have a hit song. And we had a couple of nice songs that was out in the streets real heavy. Long story
okay.
short, we go up to Rap-A-Lot, next thing you know, Jay Prince listening to the song, he said, "Hey man, these nice, but this not it." Now we did that twice. The third time, Jay Prince had his people come and look for us because Poe Pimp was hot in the street.
Now, pretty much, was there a mixtape circuit going on in Chicago back then, AK, or was that a situation where you just recorded the song and it just started moving around on the radio or this, that, and the other?
Yeah. We just started recording songs. We was recording singles back at the time, you know?
Okay.
And just having fun.
Now,
y'all,
when we...
Y'all music reflected on a lot of fun, too, because, you know, we all came out around the time where... You know, rap was real serious around the time. Like it was about throwing your guns in the air and all that. Y'all came with the smooth tip.
Yeah, you know, we came with what we come from. We came with the vibe of what we come from, what we was seeing, and what, you know, what was going on with us. And there was some player shit. You know what I'm saying? We was like, man,
and look,
you know, when we come, huh?
Yeah, and I was just saying, I mean, look, y'all was at the Cradle Pimper, too. I mean, of course, Bishop Don, Magic One, you know, all those guys, you know what I'm saying, representing out there, you know.
You know, the player shit, you know what I'm saying? You get you some money, you know, buy a nice whoop back in the days, get you some money, buy a nice whoop, get a bad female, and, you know what I'm saying, you chill. We went on, you know, if it was just some gangster shit popped out, you handle it like that. But it wasn't no games and shit, man. This how you chill, man. The motherfucker was into all that shit, man. That's going on now.
When we first heard Poe Pimp, we actually saw the video. We were thinking that this was just some of like the most smoothed out, flyest fedora with the feather in it freshness that we had ever seen. And then, of course, you know, Johnny P with the chorus, "Do you want to ride in back seat of a caddy, chop it up with you?" And we were like, yo!
Yeah, it was some soulful shit, you know?
Yeah, it was very soulful, man.
And what we was talking about, you know, when I kicked my verse off, I was talking from the streets point of view, 7OOPM, flying love to them hoes, LBM, sipping C, Grim, chewing them on weed stem, touching on my phone, pimp, moving, pimp, spree to the phone with a slow limp, like the shit was just real.
Now, in terms of that staccato quick style, you know, of course, Twista, you know, when he first dropped his album, you know, back in the early 90s, you know, that was, you know, that was pretty much one of, you know, that, I'm not going to say that was the quote-unquote Chicago style, but that was the style that we were introduced to from Chicago in earnest. Of course, this is before Common and them would come later on. What was it about growing up there? Tell us about where you grew up at in Chicago and just what you saw that influenced you in terms of the everyday.
Well, I mean, you couldn't have said it no better. We grew up on the west side of Chicago, Players and Pimps.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Gangs, you know, Gangs and GD's, Vice Lord. You know, we grew up around all of it. You said if they say anything from Chicago that was thorough, we grew up around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could put it in, you know, I could put it in the box just like that. I don't even have to say too much extra.
Understood.
Anything that was thorough in Chicago, we grew up around.
And that's something that I mean, but to watch it, when you look at how it all, when you look at the growth of it, when you all finished the album Victory, which I would take it as it was the victory. How did you all come up with that title for it?
Cause people thought when we did the second album that it wasn't gonna go gold. Heads and Tails went gold in 2 weeks.
Mm.
So that was a victory. That was a victory for us because they thought the first album was cool. The second album did way more than the first album. So we like, man, that's a victory for us. You know. Because a lot of people didn't get past their sophomore year.
What was it like?
You know, really, in your sophomore.
No, go ahead.
No, really, in your sophomore year, they, you know, if you don't pass your sophomore year, the rap game don't really even fuck with you. They'll just say, you know, they'll just call you a legend off one single.
Mm-hmm.
They won't. It won't be a, hey man, you know, the sophomore album was this or. You know, the junior album was just the thing, you know, after you pass your sophomore year, you really, like, stamped in the game.
What was it like for you all from the debut understanding? Like, when did you all know that you all really had something? Because like you said, you know, earlier, this is before the Internet. This, because back in the day, you had Source Magazine. XXL didn't come until 1997. So you had Rap City, Video Box, UMTV Rap, Source Magazine. That was primarily the outlets of which an artist, with, especially with a video and an album, that was how you pretty much people got to know you all as a collective in terms of anyone who was doing music at that time. When did you all know that you all had something that took off like a rocket?
When Biggie and Tupac situation was happening,
mm-hmm.
Poe Pimp was taking over the airwaves at the same time. Poe Pimp was doing
mm-hmm.
what it was doing, despite what was going on as far as not a rival, but the music that they was making. Shit, you really couldn't get in between that because their music was so big. You know, it was colossal. All that shit was colossal. So for Poe Pimp to be able to cut up through all that shit and still hit platinum. That says a lot about, you know, the music that we was making at that time.
Right.
Especially
and that part
debut
of it.
Too. It
yeah.
was your debut at that. And I think also,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all touched the soul of it when you add also the late Johnny P up there.
Yeah,
I mean, man, Johnny P, man, he's a childhood, he my childhood friend, this boy here, man. Luther, when he was a kid, Luther Vandross picked this boy up, man.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Okay,
Luther,
okay.
Yeah, he was up on a Luther Vandross as a kid.
Hmm, okay.
You know, he was out on... He
That's
was
how
out,
he learned
He was
it.
Out on the road doing... Yeah, man, he was out on the road doing shows with Bernie Mac and all them. Like, this guy was a kid out there already.
I mean, when we think about all the legends, that come...
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, he was like 17, 18 at the time. It was kind of like around the time where Danny Boy was also coming out. It's like these guys were like 17,
Row, yeah.
18. Was sounding like grown men.
Yeah, I mean they was handling that R&B like a grown man. Like, man, that, you know, when you heard them, you said, oh man, this is something to be, you know, reckoned with.
What did you all learn about the business as you were going along in terms of negotiating contracts, in terms of the process of promotion, studio, getting – I mean, what was that like at that time when you all really, you know, saw how the game worked?
What I really learned from the game after seeing how it worked was, you know, it was all really about all business. Like, the music – is yours. I feel like this right now. At the end of the day, no matter how the contract was signed, if an artist did the music, they should have 100% of their publishing, and they should have 100% of their writers, especially if they wrote it. You know what I'm saying? But in the business, in the rap game, it wasn't like that, but it should be like that. To this day, it should be like that. You know what I'm saying? And I believe the label should get their 20% or 30% to keep their labels afloat, but, you know, it's not like that. But when we have learned, man, get you a lawyer. We learned that in the game.
Right.
And, you know, we learned, you know, get you an accountant and, you know, and have everything going in the direction you needed to go in for you to level up to the next level.
What you said, know? AK, is something that a lot – yeah, what you said is true, because a lot of I remember this was in a Source magazine, this was years ago, and they were asking artists, different artists, about what they would like to see in the game. And Coolio said that every artist should get at least $1 back from every record that they sell. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't understand about the music industry, because everybody thinks that a lot of these artists are so rich. But the reality is a lot of that comes from their upfront, you know, signing bonus in terms of, you know, what their deal is. But that's also money that they have to pay back to the label in terms of an advance. When you look at an artist like, you know, rest in peace, Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, I think they were getting at the most, like, I think Whitney was getting like maybe a dollar, like 85 cents to a dollar for every record she sold. I think Mariah was right up in that area too. But that was considered, like, back in the day, especially the 90s, that if you got a dollar, if you were at least getting 95 cents on a record sold, you were, like, doing it, especially if you were popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely
you was doing it.
In terms of that era of the 90s, so there's, of course, you have Tupac, Biggie, of course, you have Nas. You know, Jay-Z's really beginning to get out there. What was just the whole feeling like in terms of being part of such a, what some consider, the second golden era of hip-hop, in terms of from where it started in earnest in 1994 to, some people would say, 96, 97? And you all were a part of that and had two albums during that process of it. Did you all know that you were going to be in a transitional period of musical history of such colossal contributions to the culture?
No. You couldn't have told me that. You know, you dream about it. You think about it. But I know we planted seeds. And we watered those seeds the right way. So we got back what we put out, you know. And then when you putting it out and you having fun with it, it's a difference than being over serious because things not going right. When you having fun with what you actually growing, the seeds you actually growing, it's a difference than not having fun. That shit is not going to grow the way you want it to, you know.
Right.
And it's just like that with anything that you do, man. No, you got to have fun with that shit. If you're not having fun, then there's not no need to even do it.
When you see the game transition over the years from when you all started, how do you see it different now with a lot of artists coming in, how the music is marketed, how artists, you know, we've been blessed to do so many shows. You, of course, being an awesome addition in our illustrious history. And we know how the block, you know, operates. Shout out to Uncle Richie Rich out in Oakland. You know, he would tell us, like, the OGs, they weren't going to let you in doing it until they knew you were repping the town right. And obviously you guys came, you know, from the streets, so you all had the respect. And now it's like we're seeing artists who are just coming in that really don't seem to really do their area justice. It's like where you all had a real passion, interest, and wanted to preserve and push culture forward for your city. It's like a lot of these artists now, they just want to do it for the fame and the clout, but not really for, right, for the substance and the, you know, for the substance and longevity.
Yeah.
Where do you see the game? How do you think the game changed? Where
that,
do you think?
Yeah, I was gonna say about that. Yeah, a lot of that come from being self-suffering. You know, a lot of dudes, they came up different through social media, not really having to interact with the people. See, you guys, just like you said earlier, got it in through the mud. You had to hit the town, shake hands, kiss babies, hit the yellow pages, you know what I mean? Take the meet and greets and all that stuff. Them dudes ain't had to do none of that.
No. Saying that will separate the game. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something real. I'm going to give you something raw or realer than that. You know, to me, the people who run in the music business, should I say, those who have a voice in it,
right?
They are
right.
They are separating the young guys from the OGs. The reason they separating the young guys from the OGs because they don't want the OGs to give the young guys the game so they don't have to go through what they went through.
Right.
So they want these young guys to come in so they can just say, "Hey man, yeah, don't talk to him because woo, he hating on." You know, it's a cycle they try to put out there to the point where if I seen one of the young guys and I knew he was going to sign a bad contract, if I was there, I would tell him, man, don't sign that contract. Go get you a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the things they want to stop the OGs from helping the shorties on.
Yeah.
Say,
and
that type of OGs as well, like the old type of OGs that's willing to give the guidance because, you know, you even see in today, we was talking about it before you got back on the air, a lot of the OGs, they too busy caught up in the clout matrix.
Man, you ain't said nothing wrong. You know, it's cold-blooded that they are because they make the game, you know, if I'm a shorty looking at the OGs chasing clout, what you think I'm thinking? Shit, I must be doing something right.
Understanding the streets as you do, and you've seen a lot of rappers start getting into situations where, and we're not talking about Biggie and Tupac. That's a horse that's been beaten so many times to death. But when you look at some of your hometown kids, and I mean that respectfully, when you look at kids like King Von, you know, FBG Duck, all those guys, when you look at, you know, a lot of artists from other areas that got out there in the streets and lost their lives behind it in terms of things that were involved in, how important is it making that transition, understanding that that should not be your life anymore in terms of, you know, getting caught up out there and that you got to make that move out of it in terms of concentrating on making music your hustle and making sure that, most importantly, you stay alive doing it?
Well, you got to have something. Let me just put it like this. You know, you got to have something to live for and you got to have something to die for. And the things that they picking, and the things that they picking, are not worth dying for and the things that they living for are not worth living for. What I mean by that is that they making choices, and those choices they are making off instinct instead of making off sitting down with somebody who can give them the real.
Mm.
And the more they get out there, and that's just like saying a fool and his money would depart, right? So if you give a young guy who never had $1 million and he haven't been taught at home, what you think he's going to go out there and do? He's going to get out.
Right, right.
The best way he know how, because ain't nobody gave him that training. So, you know, you got to have something to live for, and you got to have something to die for.
That's real.
Yeah.
And I think,
gotta,
go ahead, Kane. Go ahead.
Yeah, you gotta definitely have a purpose, man, because you don't come with a purpose or a mission. You just existing.
That's what living and dying is. Once you understand what you would die for, you're going to live. You know, you're going to die for your kids. You're going to die for your family. You know, you're going to die for your respect, your honor. You know, you stand behind that. But now you got something to live for. You know, I don't let nobody cross these lines because this is what I stand for. And they say a man who stands for nothing will fall for anything.
That's real. And when you look at it, you all came up in a different time where your reputation was well solidified, where we see a lot of these do, and whatever you all did in the street, that was not for public discourse. Whatever y'all did on the block, that was y'all business, and the statute of limitations has expired on it. But it's like a lot of these youngins now, it's like they are determined to put themselves out there about how real they are, you know, what they do, and everybody wonders why they all getting arrested or whatever. And I'm like, they're putting all their business out there. That's why they getting caught up.
Yeah, that's what you call snitching on yourself. That's what you call snitching on yourself. You know, there's no way in the world you go out in the street and do something knowing already it's something is super illegal in the feds or the state can jump on it. And then you go in the studio and you start rapping about it. Come on, man.
Yeah, yeah, and that's something I think when we look at the era of what we live in, we're all older. You are an OG who we respect tremendously. You're a part of that legendary guard, and we grew up listening to you. You know, it's not to make our generation sound like we were the best, but I think in terms of the music we listened to at our time, it raised us differently in terms of the message and how we were able to disseminate the wisdom you all gave us, how you all articulated to us and how we received it. And as we've seen over the years, the game has changed. And that's not to say hip-hop culture is dead, because it isn't. The culture lives forever, and hip-hop music lives forever. Good hip-hop music is still out there. It's about what's being push now. You as an artist and as a legend, where do you think it started changing when people were how do you think it changed in terms of where we saw people deciding who and what culture should be? We talked about what you said about the business aspect, but musical direction, how do you think it's changed to where a lot of these artists now are getting so much pull off of it, the most being marginally talented? Do you think the bar has been lowered where the game now is for more entertainment purposes rather than for musical substance?
Well, let me put it like this.
Okay.
You know, hip hop have always gave us everything. It gave us everything. What I mean by everything, when it gave us Run-DMC, LL Cool J, Slick Rick, man, we enjoyed it, right? They gave us Vanilla Ice. They said, man, get this man up out of here, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hip-hop is always giving you everything. It won't give you just one or two or three things or what you feel like it should give you. Hip-hop is
right.
going to always give you what you don't want and what you do want. And once you can understand that hip-hop is a culture that gives you everything, you know this too shall pass, should I say. So all of the drill music that's going on right now, that's going to pass too. Something else got to come on top of that. Hip-hop has never stayed in one spot.
That's true.
So I look at it at, huh?
Too much evolution. There's too many different regions and too many different participants.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. There's going to always be somebody come in and change the game. And we have seen it many, many of times with hip-hop. People have changed the game. And so, you know, they saying right now the drill music is big in hip-hop. At the end of the day, the same thing that happened with East Coast, that happened with West Coast, that's happening with the South right now. It gotta evolve. It got to. Ain't no way around it.
Yeah. I think one thing we miss about it growing up is that there was variety. I've heard this saying, and I have always believed in it. Me being a magazine head, I still buy magazines, you know, for, you know, who still prints them. And they, you know, there was a saying I read online, and they were like, the real hip-hop heads are not listening to the radio. They're reading magazines. They're reading the blogs. You know, they're even watching YouTube in terms of who the new artists are coming out. And when we came up listening to the radio, it was a variety of artists. You know, it was a variety of R&B. It was a variety of hip-hop. The song, it wasn't a playlist. DJs had the freedom to play what they wanted to play. If a song caught on organically, then you played it because it was popular. But it's like now, how do you think the business of corporations buying these radio stations has changed it from where the radio stations used to be independently owned and operated?
Well, you got to understand that the reason they bought the business of the radio was to be able to keep the masses where they want them to be at. Because we know with certain music, I just got to keep it 100. If I don't keep 100, it ain't gonna be right. We know with certain music, it have kids to do certain things because it's dumb down. You know, the kids are not. To me, they're not really wrapped tight as far as intelligent enough to say, oh, don't do this or don't do that, because the parents not in the house anymore. So they're going off of whatever instinct that comes. So now
right. They're
listening to this music. They listening to this music feeling like, gee, we can do this without no consequence. So now they building more jails for the same thing they doing. That's why they taking over these radio stations. That's why they brought all the radio stations. We finna feed them this. We going to feed them the worst music we could feed them, you know?
And it's crazy because we heard hard shit growing up, but it wasn't like it was glorified. It was like telling a story. But even when, you know, but there was a, like when I think about with Wu-Tang's Triumph, and I think about that opening verse that Det came with, and I was like, this was hip-hop perfection with that first verse. And this is what we grew up listening to. You know, I'm like, this is like rap academic 101 of how you rhyme. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like you said, the dumbing down of it, when you look at some of these artists that are coming in, for what you all did and what some of these artists today are doing, and that's not all of them, but what your work did, what your boys did, and what some of these artists, it doesn't even compare. You all were light years ahead of these guys. Still are.
Yeah. And it comes from us hearing the artists before us who put substance in their rap. You
right.
know? Okay, we know if you do this, you're gonna get that.
if this happened, here come your karma. So we rapped about things that said, okay, man, I'm finna tell them how we get down. I'm finna tell them how things go, but I'm also finna tell them about the consequences that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we, you know, I said in a song, this house been raided for several times. Been watching my every move, cause all they wanted to dope in the nines. Violated my rights for searching my house without a search warrant. They toss all my shit around till they find out what they want. You know, so we, you know, we gave them substance. You know, we gave them substance. Like, man, these police ran in my house, man, and tossed all my furniture around, and TVs off the, you know, and man, they done tore up the place without a search warrant. Now, I know I'm in the streets. So at the end of the day, if I know I'm in the streets, I know it's two things that come with the streets. It's either the grave or jail. So, you know, we was putting substance in the rap to where, man, you can hear us saying this, man, hey, man, you don't have to go this route. But this is what's going on if you do go this route.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about substance in your rap, man. It's about substance in your rap.
Now, with you and the rest of the crew members, like, what is the key to you guys sticking together, man? Because, you know, in this business, man, everybody always wanted to go either go solo or, you know, people getting other people air and crews break up. Like, what's the key to you keeping you guys together all this time?
I mean, you need a foundation to stand on. And my, you know, our foundation is God.
Hmm.
You know,
say that.
Yeah, you need a foundation to stand on. And when everybody not on the same page, all we got to do is go back to God. You know, and it'll straighten itself out, because foundation always straighten you out. You know,
and
so you don't, if you don't,
yeah,
you can, not to cut you off.
No,
you can
go
get
ahead,
out
go
of
ahead,
you can
ahead.
Get out of your. You can get out of your own way, and you can get out of each other way when you got foundation.
That's, you know, to see you all still have that unity that you had over 25 years later, to see you all still here, you know, of course, you know, it's a testament to brotherhood, to friendship, to family. And that type of loyalty to each other, I'm not going to say it's rare, because you all came from a generation that was what it was. You know, there may have been issues, you know, here and there. Even when the Wu-Tang had issues, the Wu-Tang never broke up. There were disagreements. We can say that on air because it's been documented. But the Wu has never said, like, we're just breaking up completely. You know, that never happened. You know, you know, Smith and Wesson, shout out to them. Tech and Steel, they're still together. You know, it's Onyx, they're still together. You know, they never broke up. You know, these crews, they never break up. You know, they've all maintained it. But as you all really began to see the growth of what you were doing, what was it like traveling the world and seeing other countries and just going to different places and seeing how you were received and how hip-hop culture is outside of the United States?
It gave us a broader outlook on how other people look at the world. So we didn't have to look through it just through our lens, but we looked through it through their lens.
Hmm.
So we got a different perspective from the people we meet and greet and take pictures with, and they give us their thoughts on how they see the world, and you get a chance to bring that back home with you and, you know, and marinate on that and say, man, I could take that and use that. I could take that and use that. And that's why they said your network work is your net worth. Who you rotate with and how you rotate with people give you a great outlook on how you should deal with life when it comes at you sideways.
I mean, that's when you thinking about you all with Rap-A-Lot, and of course, shout out to the old man we call respectfully Jay Prince, the OG, you know, the main man of Houston. What was it like sitting down, getting his wisdom, his guidance, his input? I read his book. If you ever talk to Prince, tell him, King and myself have the art and science of respect. It's in our daily reading rotation. We absolutely love the book. The gems that he dropped in it were unbelievable, telling his story and things he had been through. Because Rap-A-Lot had been around a few years by the time you all came on. When you all had that sit-down with him, what was that conversation like, just about music and life in general?
Man, I don't even know where to start when it comes to that.
We got time. We got like 20 minutes. Go ahead.
Jay Prince, I believe, has been favored by God. His walk, his talk is everything he say. He stand by it and he mean it. Everything that he have ever told me came to fruition, and he stood by it until it happened. And then to this day, I can actually call Jay and say, "Well, I'm finna get ready to come to Houston. You gonna be there?" He'll say, "Yeah." I make sure he know I'm coming down, man. We kick it as brothers, because that's what we are. We brothers. I call him my big brother. He call me his little brother. We kick it, you know. And at the end of the day, he shows you that, man, well, I got to say it for what it is. He show you that, man, all you have to do is have the faith in what you're doing, and everything else going to fall in place.
Hmm.
I seen the man tell the people, "Hey, man, show me your biggest ranch with as much land as you can show me." And the lady kept on showing him the small stuff, and at the end of the day, he said, "Show me."
That's when he's like, yeah, that passage in the book where he talked about somebody was trying to put a cap on his dream.
So that's I was there at that time.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I was there
at
that time.
Yeah, because he told her he had an unlimited budget. He told her money was not a problem in terms of, you know, whatever he wanted. He just didn't want to find something he liked. And he told her, money's not a problem.
Yeah. So when you go out on that ranch, man, you're talking about serenity. You're getting real serenity out there. Now, here's the kicker.
Okay, okay.
A thousand acres, you know it was some slaves somewhere out there.
Right.
It was some slaves on that land. So this man done brought land back that slaves used to work on.
Right.
You know, and this guy, man, he just a 100 stand up guy, man. He stand behind his word 100%. If he can't do it, he not gonna say it. If he can do it, he gonna say it and stand on it until it's done. As always, just been Jay Prince, man. And to this day, man, him and I still we brothers. And nothing less, nothing more. That's my brother.
Shameless plug. Tell him we would love to have him on the show. And I say that from one end, number one, because we respect him so much, and number two, we know how important it is to – because we've done this show. King, this is his baby. This is his brainchild. I've been part of it for the past 5. He started it 8 years ago. We've lost a lot of people along the way that we've interviewed. Shout out Badass, Louis Rankin, Snoopy Blue, Gonzo. We've lost a lot of people along the way, and we've kind of, you know, in addition to the mission we've started with this, you know, that he started, that I've been along with, and so many others that have helped us, we really, really, really want to give appreciation to those pioneers, to those legends. We're just putting that out there. We would love to have Jay Prince on the show. If, you know, next time, you know, just tell them about us, you know, because you are a lineage to that history, just like he's a lineage to your history. He was the one that gave you all the deal, just like you still have those dealings with him, you know, so you both are, for us to be able to talk to the very people that we listened to growing up, AK, you have no idea how much of this is an honor and a thrill for us, you know.
To be journalists, to speak to people we actually know, love, and respect, you know, we grew. I mean, your music influenced us in the best of ways. It gave us inspiration. It gave us knowledge. It gave us insight. It gave us motivation to be the best that we could be.
Man, and you know, that's an honor, because I say it like this: we just a reflection of one another. So when you telling me that, you saying it to me, that go right back to you, brother.
And we are like.
Hey, Steve, I was going to ask him this, too, because we talked about people that we lost in 2022. I want to ask him about Max Julian, because you had Max Julian in the Poe Pimpin' 2 video, man. What was that being like, being around a dude like that, man?
Yeah, man.
We had Max Julian and Rudy Ray Moore.
Dolomite and the Mac. Yeah.
Dolomite. Yeah. We had both of them out there at the video shoot. Man, you know, Julian, man, Max Julian, one of the most laid-back, humblest, man, one of the most laid-back, humblest guy I ever seen, man. You know, talk with a soft voice. The way he talk in the movie is the way he talk for real. Hey, man, we going to set the video. You know, that's had that soft, calm voice. And, you know, he was willing to do whatever's necessary to make everything work in your favor, man. And he was just one of a kind, man. He was just one of a kind, man. Max Julian was a great guy.
Man.
Yeah,
now, when you
play.
See...
Yeah, because he brought a different flavor to the video, man. I mean, the Mac, come on, man. That's one of the top five movies in terms of, you know, messages and what we're doing with the community. Because, you know, also, it's crazy how we mentioned this is because one who played his brother, he passed away this past week.
Hmm.
Oh, I ain't know that.
You know, when the brothers got to work it out.
Yeah. I mean, so this is part of what we do in terms of really wanting to be a responsible, respectable, and reputable outlet in terms of being able for legends like you to tell your story from an end of an era that is never going to be forgotten and needs to be remembered in terms. When we think about that era between 1994 and 2000, that six-year period, all the undeniable classics, the culture-shifting work, which, like I said earlier, you know, you all were part of. I mean, how do you catch fire like that with an era? What? How does an era just have that much talent? It's like the 2001 Miami Hurricane, you know, winning the national title, one of the greatest college football teams ever. And I think they ended up having like 17 guys drafted or 17 first round picks. One of those. But it's like what was, I mean, how does an era just produce that much? And of course you said you were a big Scarface fan. What was it like when you being on Rap Lock getting to meet Scarface and talking to him?
Oh, in the beginning, Face always stayed off to himself.
Understood.
In the beginning,
understood.
He stayed off. So we, you know, we had to warm up the Face to let him know, like, man, your shoulders, we stand on your shoulders, man. This ain't no we coming in to Rap a Lot and trying to do X, Y, and Z, man. We stand on your shoulders. If it wasn't for you rapping before us, we wouldn't even be talking about no rap right now. You know, so... As time went on, man, Face embraced us as his brothers, and it's been that ever since. Nothing else.
Definitely. When you look back at the era you all came up in and all this, and just realizing the classics you all created, when you look at it, will we ever see an era like that again in terms of just you know, a particular time period where we just have that much, you know, change in it again? And if so, who do you think are the artists today leading that charge in terms of really creating that next generation of legendary?
Kendrick Lamar. I believe that Kendrick Lamar can spark. I believe that he has sparked an artist to be able to come in and take on different hats of just the rap game. And I think that if there's somebody that's, as Jay-Z would say, there's somebody always sitting at that table with that box of cereals, man, who's putting himself together well by listening to rappers that come before him, so he can be able to give the world every artist that within, okay, he could be able to give the world every artist that he ever listened to from his perspective.
Mm. Yeah, and that's something I think that is the most important thing. When we look at a lot of the youngins today, we were older, so obviously our understanding of the culture is different, and we don't hate the younger rap audience. We love a lot of the new stuff that's out. I think if one thing we want a lot of the younger audience to gravitate to is understanding that there is still something of consciousness, of substance. Because like you said, AK, earlier, when you listen to the same thing over and over again and it's negative, that eventually becomes your psyche. You begin to adopt those attitudes because that is what you inundate yourself with. You know, to be a well-rounded person means that you have to be diverse in your palette of interest. There has to be different indulgences that make a more diverse it brings more diversity. You can't be stagnated. You don't want to be one way. You want to have something that really, really is able to help you broaden your horizons. Like Razzcast once said, the diameter of your knowledge is the circumference of your activity. And shout out to Razz. We had him on for our 500th show. We can't wait to have him back on. You know, he said that on the Soul on Ice remix. And I never forgot that line. You as an OG today, what still motivates you to make music, to still create, to still contribute?
One thing you got to know is, if I got to say it for what it is. If God didn't say quit, why you quit? Because what the people had laid out, man, when you get to this age, man, you shouldn't be doing X, Y, and Z. Why? You know, if you can still do it, do it. Who told you to stop because you this age? Who told you to stop because the music industry machines are not behind you no more? Who told you to stop?
And that's real. We've said this on the show so many times. Hip-hop is the only culture of music, well, you know, we're the only culture with the music that says that there is an ageism on it. We try to push the legends out. I'm like, no. I'm like, the legends are the reasons why the music is what it is. And if they can still do it at a high level, you know, why are we going to tell them they can't do it anymore? You know, we need a reference point. It is actually, you know, going to let the newer generation understand what the forefathers beforehand. I mean, we look at today, you know, August 11th, 2022. We're 49 years into hip-hop culture. This is hip-hop culture's birthday today. And we look at it, and it's like 49 years of contributions from thousands of rappers. You know, yourselves, LL, Jay-Z, Beastie Boys, Nas, Biggie, MF Doom, Mac Dre, NWA, Cocaine, you know, too many to count. Queen Latifah, MC Light, Lil' Kim, Rhapsody, Jean Grey, you know, you all have made this culture monumental. And I don't care how old you all are. You all are the reason that it has lasted as long as it has and will continue to, because by your contributions, you have written endless chapters of excellence that will live forever endlessly in infinite, you know, capacity.
And you know, what you saying that the powers that be who's in control now, that dang bads call the culture vultures, they know that. So they know they can never remove the power, they the powers that be, but they can never remove the power that we have and will always have. Because if you brought all of hip hop together from from even before Run DMC them, all the way from Sugar Hill Gang, all the way back to now, you know, all the way back to now. If you brought all the hip hop artists together and just said, "All right, we're gonna use our voice as one," the powers that be couldn't even do nothing. They couldn't even move. They couldn't say, "Well, we're gonna do X, Y, and Z," because they don't have no artists to go off of. All we need to do be one voice. All we need to do is be one voice. That's it.
Yep. And you know, like you said earlier, the one thing we want for a lot of the new artists to come up is to understand this: the era they came up in now, what's coming, it's a little easier because it's more you can manufacture celebrity, but you can't always manufacture substance. Substance is something you already have. And we want a lot of these younger artists to understand that, you know, because how many artists have we seen come in the past 5 years that basically they washed out? They had a buzz, but the music didn't stand on its own where, you know, it was able to really, really, like, make an impact. Because now it's become so oversaturated, it's harder to really make your impact in it, let alone have staying power. You know, and a lot of them, they just resort also to now to having a lot of shenanigans online to try to make up for it. And it's like, dude, no, at the end of the day, your music is what lasts. We got a little bit of time, AK. Physical copies of records. King and myself, we are like devoted to the art of collections in terms of making sure that we have something tangible that we can hold in our hands. How do you feel about the paradigm of thought that physical records don't sell well anymore?
You know, that's the way of the world, you know, and they follow in suit. But I think that at the end of the day, man, I mean, the album we just put out, The Storm, and there's people overseas asking for physical copies like crazy. And this is no exaggeration. At least a good 500 people call like, "Hey, man, you know, we need these copies." I'm like, okay, well, these people want these physical copies, man. We need to get them. But see, you know, the physical copies leaving out of the hip hop world is just going with the it's just going with the waves of time. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we really just have to respect that part. As bad as we don't, because for it to be tangible and you could touch, it's better than. And excuse my language, but it's fucked up because that.
We missed that last part. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah. They know taking away the tangibles is like saying, okay, that's taking away the emotion. You know how we got a CD from Scarface and we opening it up and we was like, "Oh man, this CD right here, this is dope. This is and we opened the package, it made a big difference because we was able to open it up, read this, that, and another. Now they took all that away.
Right.
Take away history.
Yeah, they take away history. It's being tangible, make it better because you can touch, you can feel. It gives you the opportunity to look through and see who's who. And that, you know what I'm saying? That was made it great in our era.
Yeah. I mean, and we've always advocated, I mean, the situations. We look at a lot of records in terms of, like, going on eBay, how much some of those records are now, you know, in terms of the rarity of them, you know, and that's why we always tell everybody, cop those physicals. I mean, especially when it runs into some situations with sample clearances, you know, or, you know, these are just limited releases. You know, so once they're sold, they're sold. They're not mass produced. So, you know, so yeah, man. We're hitting at 11 o'clock. We don't want Blog Talk cutting us off when we're having such a bananas great conversation. AK, we thank you so much for this time, for your consideration, your courtesy. We love you and the crew so much. You're welcome back anytime. Plug y'all new project. Let everybody know where to find you online. Just go ahead. Hey, let's get it, man, before we get out of here.
Yo, definitely you can find us online, akupdoer.instagram. That's akupdoer.instagram. Kyrie, below zero Instagram.
Hello?
Below zero.
Definitely.
Hey,
appreciate you joining us, man. We definitely appreciate you joining us. Because, you know, you could have just went ahead and just, you know, skipped this one out. But you went ahead and came through with the clutch. Gave us a dope interview. We definitely looking forward to building the future, man. The storm is out now.
Man. Yeah, go cop that Storm album. It's out right now on all platforms.
Definitely, man.
Word.
Definitely appreciate you joining us. Big shout out to Pat for making this happen. So we're going to catch
y'all
tomorrow
definitely.
On the rebound, same time, same channel. AK, we're going to definitely be helping you promote this thing. This project is dope. We're going to let the people know to get it right now, even for you broke motherfuckers that want to sit there and stream everything and don't want to buy it. It's out on streaming platforms, too.
You already know.
Definitely.
Yeah, we on that note. We up
so,
out of here.
I mean, another office chat of office.
5:13 off the books.
Yep.
We out. Peace and